There are numerous experiences in life that are impossible to adequately explain. To fully appreciate them, you need to come and see. Growing up, I can remember my dad inviting me to come and see a newborn calf. Even though we had a new one born about every 3 days, it was still amazing to see them go from birth to walking in just 10 to 90 minutes. I remember my parents inviting us to come and see on a frigid January morning at 4:30 to be warmed by the dazzling dance of the Northern Lights. Matter of fact, I think that was the only thing that was ever good about getting up at 4:30 in the morning to milk cows. I have delighted in inviting many people to go backpacking with me to come and see the beauty of creation. Some of my favorites are when you are able to hike up above the clouds and to look down on the robust colors of alpine meadows. But how do you come and see the love of family and friends? Many of the best moments of my life feature love with Leslie and my family. How do you come and see the joy, peace, grace, transformation, and renewal of your relationship with Jesus? What experiences in your life are you eager to grab someone and passionately say, "Come, come, come and see"? The Gospel of John, our scripture today, celebrates how Jesus enables us to see in new ways. We are invited to come and see God and the goodness all around us. We are invited to come and see the inbreaking of heaven into the world and into our lives through Jesus. The Gospel of John explains, "The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Come, follow me.' Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth.' 'Nazareth,' exclaimed Nathanael. 'Can anything good come from Nazareth?' 'Come and see for yourself,' Philip replied." Philip discovered a new way of seeing through Jesus. Philip saw himself in all of creation as forgiven, loved, and being renewed. Philip was seeing Jesus' love and service, which was resurrecting all. In passionate, joyous excitement, Philip invited his friend Nathanael to come, come and see Jesus. Nathanael, surprisingly, immediately throws up this wall of blindness, full of skepticism and prejudice. You can hear it in his scowl. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael had his own preconceived notions of what Jesus the Messiah was supposed to be like and where Jesus was to hail from. Nathanael was a great student of Scripture, but he had studied it through the skewed lens of the religious leaders. Nathanael was looking for a royal Messiah who would save with mighty power and politics and justice. Nathanael felt he knew God in the way that God would work and love. It can be hard at times to see what is in plain sight. Sometimes we can't see God because we have put God in a box. We can't see because we expect God to be, act, and reveal God's self in certain ways. Sometimes we can't see the people who are closest to us because we think we already know everything about them. We can't fully love them because our thoughts about them, our expectations for them, give us a distorted view of who they really are. Sometimes, oftentimes, we can't even really see ourselves because our vision of ourself is blurred by denial and self-delusion, insecurity, self-hate, fear, guilt. But if we are unable to see ourselves, if we are unable to see those closest to us that we love, then it is extremely difficult to see others and to see the world. Sometimes we can't see because we think we know ourselves and who we are looking at. oh, those people from the wrong side of town or the wrong side of the world or the wrong side of the issue. So how are you blinded by skepticism and prejudice? How are you blinded by your definitions and expectations of God? How do you twist and distort love? How do you fail to see God because you doubt that God is working in that way, or doubt that God can really be seen over there, and you doubt that God is really, truly working to redeem all? How often are you unable to see through the haze of your life in this world to God's renewing glory? How are you unaware of God by your judgment that God does not love in a certain way, or that God doesn't love that person? Undeterred, Philip invites Nathanael, "Come, come and see." As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." Jesus lovingly greets Nathanael with a compliment. Nathanael glares back with a frosty question. "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asks. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael explained, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." What happened there in just two sentences? What is the cause of this sudden change from spiritual blindness to sight, from skeptic prejudice to faithful, obedient faith? Several biblical scholars and pastors believe it has something to do with what Nathanael was doing back underneath that fig tree. Robert Allen writes, "Nathanael dared to have important dreams as he sat in the cool, leafy shade of the fig tree. Dreams about the coming of the Messiah. Dreams are the stuff life is made of. Robert encourages us to get in touch with our dreams and to dream big, like Nathanael did." Paul Fleschner writes, "Nathanael had retreated to his fig tree for quiet reflection and prayer. He was a person sincerely hoping for and searching for the Messiah. Paul encourages us to renew ourselves through worship, prayer, quiet meditation, retreats, like Nathanael did." King Omig writes, "The fig tree was a popular place to study the Torah. Sitting under a fig tree was also a symbol of peace and security. King encourages us to meditate on God's word. Following God's word will lead us to abundant life." Lowell Grisham writes, "The fig tree is a metaphor for one's true home. Jesus truly sees Nathanael. Jesus revealed that God knows everything about Nathanael, all his secrets, that God fully understands him, that Jesus truly knew him and knows him." Interestingly enough, there's a lot of speculation on what happened underneath that fig tree, but every position I researched on this text are all in agreement that the key aspect of Nathanael's transformation was that Jesus truly saw and knew him. Nathanael asked Jesus, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you." The psalmist proclaimed, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you tonight shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. O Lord, you know everything about me. God, you truly see me. You know all of my faults, all of my secrets, all of my mistakes, yet you still love me and call me to love and serve in your name. As Nathanael approached Jesus, called him a genuine son of Israel. Jesus is calling him a wrestler with God. Do you remember that story? Israel got his name. He was Jacob, and then he was transformed with his experience, with his wrestling match with God. See, Jacob was a con artist, a scoundrel, a liar. Jacob took every shortcut available. He manipulated even his parents and brothers, stealing from them on numerous occasions. And God knew all about that and knew all about his other schemes and secrets and his many sins and how he left really a wake of pain and hurt everywhere he went. Jacob's wrestling match began when he started seeing in a new way. It began when he saw that God truly knew him. Yet despite that, God still loved him. We see because God sees us. We love because God loves us. We know because God knows us. We are capable of loving, seeing, and knowing because God first loves, sees, and knows us. When we realize that God truly sees everything about us, knows us through and through, and totally, completely loves us, our wrestling match begins. When one wrestles with God, they start to see more of themselves. They start to see who they truly are. They see their strengths and their weaknesses. They see that goodness that is within them but is tarnished. They see the love that's trying to come out but gets twisted. They see the love that they're trying to receive but yet that gets distorted as well. They are transformed, become more pure, blessed, and they are renamed. Jacob gets renamed Israel. When Isaiah saw God, his lips were purified, his speech was purified, and then he was sent by God to be a prophet. When Mary realized that God saw her, she saw God, and then she became a humble servant, and she was empowered to bring Jesus into our lives. Jesus called Nathanael a genuine son of Israel, a man of integrity. A person of integrity is a person who wrestles with God. They strive to see and know and love as God sees, knows, and loves us. They strive to see God's will. And then they strive to get God's will, their thoughts, their actions, their life, their relationships, all in harmony. All in the harmony of love. A person of integrity comes to know themselves. They are aware and honest about their mistakes. However, instead of dwelling on their mistakes, they strive to improve, to grow, to be authentic. Instead of dwelling on their mistakes, they know that they are cleansed by God's grace so that they can love. The sudden change in Nathanael was brought about by Jesus truly seeing, knowing, and loving him. We are invited to see in a new way by Jesus who sees, knows, and loves us. Seeing in a new way is a lifelong quest. As Jesus' disciple, Nathanael saw that nothing is as it first appears. When you truly see Jesus, the whole world suddenly looks very different. An adulteress about to be stoned is no longer seen as a person to judge and condemn. Rather, they are seen as a fellow sinner, needing the forgiving grace of God, standing among sinners, also in need of that same forgiveness. a despised tax collector, is now seen as a hospitable friend, eager to change, eager to see in a new way. A mob of hungry people is now seen as an opportunity to share your food. Enemies who want to hurt you are seen as people who are unaware, people who are unable to see. Therefore, you forgive and love them and keep forgiving and loving them, hoping that in time they would be able to see in a new way and also love. A traitorous friend who betrays you at the worst possible moment is now seen as a faithful rock who deserves another chance, whose renewed love will inspire you and others to do amazing things. Jesus truly sees us and invites us to truly see others. When John the Baptist asked from prison, "Is Jesus the Messiah?" Jesus responded, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." Jesus' disciples see God at work in ways that can easily go unnoticed. Sometimes one can get so caught up in longing to see Jesus face to face, longing for that mountaintop experience, longing to have this mystical connection with God, that they miss the face of Jesus and the person sitting right next to them, sitting right next to you right now. Or maybe the waitress that will serve you, or a clerk that will help you in a store. True disciples of Jesus see the world differently. They are able to set aside their rigid expectations, and they are able to wrestle, to investigate, to explore, to ask questions. And when they see God working in ways that don't fit their assumptions and expectations, they change their thinking, letting more and more of the truth into their life, ever expanding their mind, heart, and seeing. Seeing is a renewing spiral. You see that God sees you. You strive to see God. You see a new facet of God. You strive to live what you see in God with integrity, which renews you, inspiring you to come and see more and more of Jesus. Nathanael's new way of seeing was just the beginning. Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Boy, that's an amazing sight. That's a reference back again, back to Jacob when he had his name changed to Israel. Jacob's ladder, those angels going up and down. When you strive to see Jesus, more and more of heaven will be revealed to you. In time, you may even be able to see in entirely new dimensions. You may be able to see somehow, to sense, to somehow perceive angels caring for you, watching out for you, and for the entire cosmos. You are invited to see in a new way, to see blessings, abundant life, and the cleansing grace of God. To see God transforming, renewing, and redeeming yourself. To see angels bringing heaven into the world. To see angels bringing heaven into your life. Jesus is inviting you. Come. Come and see. Amen.